Excelsior, written by Jasper T. Scott and read by James Patrick Cronin.
Part 1. Operation Alice. Such then is the human condition, that to wish greatness for one's country is to wish harm to one's neighbors. Voltaire. Chapter 1. Don't go, Alex. I don't have a choice, Catty. I go where they send me, remember? That was the deal. Move up north and pay for our upgrades with 2 terms of service. But you're almost done. 10 years was the deal. They can't ask you to serve longer than that. We're at war. It's a cold war. No one's shooting at you up there. Fleet Command doesn't see the difference. It isn't fair. Catty wiped her eyes and shook her head. She looked away, out to Anchor Station's launch platform. Alexander followed her gaze. One of the climber cars sat waiting on the platform, big enough to be a skyscraper. 2 more just like it could be seen rising one below the other on the opposite side of the elevator ribbon. The higher of the two was a mere glinting speck against the broad blue sky. Alexander turned back to his wife. Her lower lip was trembling. As he watched, a tear ran down her cheek and landed on her lips. He leaned in and kissed it away. "Don't cry," he whispered. "How can you ask me not to cry? I don't even know when you're coming back. Or if..." "Shh." Alexander pressed his forehead against hers. "I will come back. Do you hear me? I promise." "Don't make promises you can't keep, Alex."
"I don't, Catty. You know that. I promised I'd get us out of the South, and I did. Life's better now."
"No, it's not. Not if I don't have you. It wasn't supposed to be like this. You signed up for the Oceanic Navy, then they transferred you to space, and now they're sending you away indefinitely. They won't tell me how long you'll be gone or where you're going. They tricked us, Alex. They're sending you because your service is almost up. They don't want to let you go."
"Catty,
we should have stayed in the South."
Alexander shook his head. "No, even if I don't come back, at least I was able to save you."
"For what? So that I'll live long enough to die alone when World War III breaks out?"
"That won't happen. Neither the Alliance nor the Confederacy is that stupid. It's all just posturing."
Alexander took a few steps forward and cupped Catty's beautiful face in his hands.
"Listen to me. Time is nothing to us now. If anything, we've got too much of it. If you can wait for me, I'll find you. The maximum period they can send me away for is another 10 years. That's how long I would have been on reserve."
Catty shook her head. "I'm only 29. 10 years is a third of my life. That's not nothing."
"Maybe not yet, but it will be."
"You really think we can last that long without seeing each other? How do I know you'll wait for me?"
"I can. I will. I'll message you every day. It might take a long time for the messages to reach you, but they will. Count on it."
Catty gave him a pleading look. "What about children, Alex? We said we'd have 3, a girl and 2 boys. We even had names picked out."
"None of that has changed. It's just delayed, and you don't have to worry about your biological clock anymore."
"That's not the point. I don't want you to leave me a widow, Alex."
He shook his head. "I won't."
He felt a knot forming in his throat, tied so tight he could barely speak.
"I love you, Catty."
Her face crumpled, and she broke down in tears. She rushed in for a hug, and he held her, stroking her head and offering more empty reassurances. 10 minutes went by like that, and then came the final boarding call, booming out from the launch platform. A pair of petty officers walked up to them, their spotless black uniforms shining indigo in the sun. One of them cleared his throat and stepped forward. He snapped to attention and saluted.
"Captain De Leon, by your leave, sir. We are at T-30 minutes and counting."
Alexander nodded and kissed his wife goodbye.